live on Facebook, and 2 seconds before we're live on YouTube, and there we go. Hello, hello, hello. If you guys can hear me, let me know. If you can't, I am good for you. My name is AJ Rivera, and we are here on episode 28 of AJ TV, where I interview the smartest entrepreneurs I can find. I get all their ninja secrets from them, and then we all learn at the same time. So it's pretty cool. Today, I have my good new best friend, Manish Sethi, in the house, who is the CEO of Pavlok. And he's going to tell us all about changing the habits of the world. He's got some awesome stuff for fitness business people, fit pros, who are trying to help their clients get better results using his it's a device that shocks people, if you can believe that. And he's also got crazy awesome, like crazy huge goals of eventually locking Pavlok and wearable devices into even like cryptocurrency and things like that. And that's my selfish indulgence and me wanting to know that information. So dude, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for being on. I know you're super busy. Let's welcome Manish.
Thanks a lot for having me, for sure.
Awesome, Manish. What's going on, dude? Appreciate you jumping on here with me. So for somebody who doesn't know who you are, first of all, they're missing out. But can you, I know I gave you a little bit of an intro there. Can you tell us, what exactly Pavlok does and how did you end up in that sort of world?
Yeah, so, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I'm from California and I run a company called Pavlok. I used to study psychology and marketing, and I studied with Professor BJ Fogg, the pioneer in habit psychology. And I went to study abroad while I was in college, and I ended up leaving school for 2 years, and I took 2 years off to travel. I started a blog called Hack the System, and this blog became about cheat codes for life. How do you get results that you desire? That was my Pavlok beeping for being unproductive. on the call with you, I guess. So I traveled and started this blog where I would do experiments to try to improve my behavior. And I would have my readers vote where I would go and what I would do. And so in one experiment, I tried to improve my productivity. And I tracked it for a while. And I hired a girl off of Craigslist to do an experiment where she followed me around for a week, and every time I used Facebook or wasted time, she would slap me in the face. And it was pretty crazy. 2 hours a day.
Did you document that? Do you have the camera? So, you do?
Yeah, so I wrote a blog post about it.
That's awesome.
Because I wrote 5 months of work in 5 days. Because I wanted to write stuff. Usually I'd get distracted, and instead she'd be like, Manish, come on. Manish, do this. But also it was like accountability plus a human being to talk to help me work out my ideas, and it was fun. And so I got I posted an article online called Why I Hired a Girl Off of Craigslist to Slap Me in the Face and How It Quadrupled My Productivity. And this post went viral because the word slapper in London English means prostitute. And The double entendre was really good for the Daily Mail. They liked that joke. It went super viral. I was on like NPR. And it was like really crazy. And then I thought to myself, hey, this is kind of cool, but how do I get this big hit again? How can I make the story big again? And I was like, wait, what if we get a dog collar and make it zap me every time I go on Facebook? So I called a friend and we just got like a little Arduino hacker set and made this little prototype in like a few hours. And I made this video, and then I thought to myself, this is really interesting. There's a million wearables out there that track what you do, but this one's actually changing what I do. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something deeper than a funny joke or a way to be viral for a few days. Maybe this is actually a business idea. And if I had known how hard it would be to do a hardware company, I would have just never, ever fucking done that. Ever. No. So hard. But instead, I stopped traveling. I got a small investment from a company, an incubator in Boston that helped me, that was hardware focused. So they said they could help me build the device. And in August of 2013, I moved here for 6 months, like I said. And 4 years later, I'm like, pull my hair, I gotta get out. I gotta travel again. So anyway, point is, what I wanted to focus on with the company is how can I fix my broken ass self? I'm severely ADD, and I measure my value as I measured my value when I was younger as me being able to do stuff that I could commit to. It wasn't about external results or how people saw me. It was internal productivity, and my self-worth was never good enough because I'm severely ADD. Or let's just say I'm addicted to to chat and messengers, basically. And I have trouble focusing. And so I was on this quest. How can I get this product to fix me? And just like anybody who isn't doing work, what I spend all my day doing is figuring out how to do work, right? Let me read these productivity blogs. Let me read these psychology books. Let me read these marketing analysis books, so I can talk about it better than anybody. So the product evolved. The idea was always the same, and the idea was always to help me get stuff done. We found out about a year into the product that self-administered electric shock that you do while you do a bad habit had ridiculously powerful effects on cessation of addictions and bad habits. We're talking average cold turkey cigarette smoker going clean is 5%.
Wow.
The average Nicorette patch user, guess what it is?
2%.
A little higher. It's 7.5%.
7.5.
They're able to quit. So 5% can quit cold turkey.
Yeah.
So 100 people try to quit cold turkey. 5 succeed 6 months later. With Nicorette patches, 7.5 of them succeed.
Yeah.
0.5 was a child. He shouldn't have started.
Yeah, I was going to say, did half of a person stop smoking?
Yeah,
right?
It was actually the horizontal side.
It was the horizontal side. It wasn't the middle half.
He smoked on this side. He
looked like that guy. He's like...
But the ads are amazing. Nicorette, 50% more effective than quitting cold turkey. There's a star, the more you know sort of style. Yeah. And so we discovered a study that had been done in the 80s showing that 5 days of electric shock for about 15 minutes while the user smoked a cigarette, 2-pack-a-day smokers, a year later, 60% of them had not touched a cigarette once. 60.
Wow.
That's insane. The numbers are 8 times higher than Nicorette. And we found that the world's best medicine is owned by the same company that owns Nicorette, which is Pfizer, and they sell a product called Chantix, and it's a drug that makes you shake like this for 6 months while you do the regimen. It has a ton of effects. It has a 20% success rate. So we were like, wow, this is a big deal. Let us focus on this as a focus of the company.
Yeah.
Let's lose the part that I cared about more, which is how can I help me achieve my goal behaviors, and focus on this big opportunity of smoking cessation / bad habit cessation for hundreds, if not thousands, of habits.
Yeah.
So nail biting, smoking, saying bad words, cursing, forgetting your keys, thinking about your ex-girlfriend. These are all examples of very common habits we hear. And most importantly, and most common, is sleeping in.
Yes.
The effect of the electric zap is very powerful at just making you aware. It snaps you out of reptile brain mode and brings you into prefrontal cortex mode. And so, that's human brain. The point is, we had a lot of trouble with the bad habits because it's unbelievable. Without a clinical study, it's unbelievable. And we were on Shark Tank, and that was very clear.
Yes.
It was unbelievable to the sharks. One thing we heard over and over again was that this one email sentence we would always forward around that said, I used to be a night owl, but now I'm a morning person. We got this email a ton of times from people who used our little alarm clock app.
Yeah.
And so we decided to re-release our product as an alarm clock. We released the shock clock, which has been very effective. It knows when you go to sleep. I mean, it tracks your sleep. It wakes you up, and depending on your settings, you have to do jumping jacks to turn off the alarm. I think you use it, right?
I definitely do use it. This is actually how I knew of you or Pavlok. That was my first introduction to it. It wasn't Shark Tank. I watched the Shark Tank after, and I was like, oh man, they're really beating up on this guy. just trying to put a device out there that he believes in. But anyway, that was why I first used it. And actually, my friend Dave Rogenmoser, who I believe you know, was using it at the same time. And I had a hard time with waking up And I knew I had to wake up early because I got way more done, right? This isn't, you know, to say every single person has to. I think they probably should. But for me, I needed to wake up early in the morning to have a productive day. If I didn't, it was like, why even work? That's how I felt.
What time?
4 a.m.
Whoa, shit. That's real early. That's like...
Yeah. Dude, damn. No, yeah, I mean, and nothing worked. Like, I tried a lot of things. I mean, this sounds like a pitch. It's not. Like, nothing, literally nothing worked. I tried, I had an alarm clock that shook under the pillow, and that didn't work. I tried setting my alarm in, like, another room. That didn't really work. I tried, I finally started doing the Pavlok, and then on top of that, I had a trampoline that I would jump on right when I woke up. So kind of like my own version of jumping jacks. And I'll tell you, the first day I put that Pavlok on, and I know it sounds like a polarizing, crazy thing, but the fear of being shocked awake woke me up like 15 minutes before my alarm went off. And it works almost, I think I probably actually get shocked maybe one out of every 20 times, because what really happens is I know I actually have to get up, and so I end up waking up and starting my day a lot sooner, which is crazy. When it finally does get you, it's not as bad as it sounds, but it definitely wakes me up, and it's usually because I didn't sleep enough the night before. So yeah, man, that's why I've been using it. I still use it. It's part of my nighttime routine. And I especially, like, when I travel and stuff and time zones are shifting, that's one of the few things that'll definitely make sure I don't miss a flight. So yeah, no, I'm super thankful for the thing for you and Kurt coming up with it. Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan. Obviously, you know I'm a huge fan of it. I think my first interaction with you was me sending you a picture of me wearing it. yeah.
Dude, it's still mind-boggling because I really don't see that many people wearing it very often. And... Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that people are getting results from anything you do unless you know them. And then even when you do know them, at least maybe it's just me, but I don't believe it still. I'm like, you're only wearing that, you're going to see me.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to hear that people are really succeeding. And I'm really excited because we have this big goal, big, hairy, audacious goal at my company. And it's 10 million habits changed in 10 years. And so what's important to me is that we're able to quantify what a habit change is. Yeah. And I think that's something that's really important. That one thing I've learned through talking through so many people is that no one feels happy with their productivity. A lot of people, every single person believes they're ADHD, by the way. Every single person, by the way. Every person. I've never met a person who didn't say, yeah, I think I'm a little ADHD sometimes, at least.
Yeah.
At least. But the scale of what that means to them is very different.
Yeah.
And everybody quantifies it by themselves, and everybody feels between 5 and 8, right? Everyone always feels between 5 and 8. So getting some way to actually judge if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but, getting a way to judge and classify what a habit is very important to me. And so we decided that we would classify a habit. And so this is the big thing we're doing right now with our new Pavlok 2 launch. Is really getting classification of habits, tracking. That's track. So Pavlok 1 was about pressing a button that made you wake up, that made you stop a behavior, or even an alarm to help you do something. Right. It didn't know that many things. It didn't. Besides jumping jacks, there's very little tracking capabilities.
Right.
Pavlok 2 is about what tracking capabilities plus machine learning plus the new incentive structure of blockchain currencies plus haptic feedback plus a need for coaching and bots and communication and conversation methodology, how these five worlds can combine into a really elegant solution that solves a lot of people's needs and desires to feel productive and happy and not lonely. And so that's the big thing I'm working on. And it starts with this habit change process. And so there's two things that I think are cool about it. Here's how we define a habit. So a habit change is a habit formation or a habit cessation or a goal achieved. But let's just talk about habit formation. It's you set a goal for something you want to do X days per week. So I want to drink a glass of water in the morning by 10 a.m., you know, 3 times a week. If you achieve that goal 4 weeks in a row, we send you a survey that says, do you feel it's harder to not do this action than it is to do this action? Do you feel that habit is formed?
Oh,
and if they mark yes, then we consider that one habit changed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so that's our formula. And what we've been doing is we found the morning is the most important time. Like you said, waking up at 4 gives you, it's like you're legitimately living longer than everybody else, like perceptually and probably physically. Definitely perceptually though, like the more. And so what's powerful is that time is underutilized. It's like if you get an extra year, maybe you get an extra hour, it's like magic hour that like now it never existed before.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we created this app that we launched on Indiegogo this month in connection with Pavlok 2, the new hardware. And it is called Pavlok Rise. And it lets you choose the morning routines of people. Like, I think you're on it, right?
I am on it, yeah. Yeah, you did. You sent it to me one.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, see, you choose the morning routine of like Einstein or Franklin, or you choose AJ Rivera or Manish Sethi. Mine's just like, don't wake up. Just like feel like you like regret ever trying to make a wearable device that doesn't wake you up or wakes you up.
Just wake up, look around, go back to bed.
I actually have a good morning routine. I take a bath every morning and read and meditate. But anyway, so that app is coming out, and I believe that the morning time is a very powerful time that changed both your behavior as an entrepreneur or as, but I also believe it's an important and powerful time to change any client's behavior. If you're a fitness professional, for example, getting a client to understand that in the morning, they're going to be much more likely to achieve a goal. And especially if they can wake up a little bit earlier, that time is a magical free time where, for example, if you are a personal trainer and you're able to get somebody to wake up a little bit earlier and see you in the morning, it's able to, the morning is a time where habits form more easily. If you can form habits in the morning, it stays healthy. So if you're trying to get a client to work out or come to the gym and work out with you, the morning time / that morning routine Pavlok Rise app is a powerful methodology to do so. Does that make sense?
No, totally. I am 100% with you, obviously because of how I feel about early mornings. And I think it's a value add if you're somebody like a personal trainer or any type of coach, right? Where not only are you giving them like information, which is fine, but you're also giving them momentum and implementation, which I think is the more important thing you get from a coach anyway. And the you know, that allows that to be a lot more trackable, I think, for you as the whatever influencer, coach, or whoever you want to be. So no, I'm with you. It totally makes sense. What other ways, like, do you think a personal trainer could use Pavlok for their like clients or just themselves that would help them be more just successful in general? Yeah, I mean, thoughts, but I want to know what you think because you're the expert.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, it's so hard to explain Pavlok because even I like don't know what it is, right? It's like, I figured it's like, is it a hardware product? Is it a software product? Is it an app? Is it an app store? It's like, it's a very amorphous substance, and yeah. But I think what the core is it's a system that helps you adhere to your goals.
Yeah.
The core of it is when you program, and our core mission is that when you come into the app and you say, I want to start doing this thing or stop doing this thing, you will achieve that goal. Mm-hmm. So that's the most powerful use case. So whatever your goal might be, you can break it down into a way that Pavlok can help you achieve that goal. If your goal is to work out in the morning, you can use the alarm clock to make sure that you wake up, and then you can simply just start working out for the first few days. You can also make it track things like your GPS if you're at the gym, or you with Pavlok 2, we'll be recording motion so it will know your actual workouts, meaning that if you do jumping jacks and then air squats and then lift a dumbbell, it's tracked automatically in the app, and your client, if they're doing it, you can see it as a coach from your end. They actually do these workouts. And so there's multiple ways. So that's if you wanted to wake up early and do that, that's how you would do it. If you wanted to do something like you had a goal of remembering people's names, or if you had a goal of remembering where you put your keys, if you zap yourself a couple times when you put your keys down, you'll rapidly remember to put it right there. It creates an awareness association the next time you walk by. Yeah. With regards to names, you simply zap yourself when you learn someone's name. It creates a multiple sensory input, and you rarely forget their name. So like these goals of learning or stopping things or starting things is powerful simply because the device makes you aware. It does nothing more than give you the key. It's a tool. It's a tool to trigger your awareness in the moment, and in doing so, hold you accountable and keep you adhering to whatever goal you might have.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, did you have, there's probably something you had in mind.
Yeah, no. And I'm with you. I kind of view it as like a prerequisite for like any type of entrepreneur, fitness or otherwise. And at least the habit changing. Like, that's fine if you don't want to use a padlock, but we teach in almost all of our coaching and courses and e-learning, the first thing we teach them is habits, and it's so great that there's something like the Pavlok now that exists that makes it a lot easier to manage and implement accountability into the business. Because me personally, like, I was struggling broke and had a hard time getting any of my businesses going. And when my businesses really started to take off, right, is when I started getting, like, taking care of my personal life, my personal goals, my own personal development. It sounds woo-woo and hippie. People want to roll their eyes at it. But when I started waking up, I used to actually wake up at 3 a.m. when I had the gyms. That's why 4 a.m. feels still like sleeping into me. And I would wake up and I would, you know, meditate. I would read a holy text. I would write. I would read a book, just a normal book. And all of those habits started to pour over into my business. And the benefits of my business growing and making more money and whatever, having a bigger impact, were all byproducts of those positive habits. So that's why I'm like such like a fan of exactly what you're doing, because I think it all starts with those habits and working on you. And then it bleeds over into everything else. Like, you couldn't stop it if you wanted to.
Yeah, man, it's cool. I think that, like, I've never heard it articulated like you did. That's actually really meaningful to me. So thank you.
Good.
It's like something I see and other people don't see until recently, right? And like, we get a lot of hate. We get a lot of hate. We had a pretty rough episode of Shark Tank, and we're gonna be live on Friday night on CNBC.
Are you cool talking about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. But we're gonna be live again on this Friday, so I know what's about to happen, and it's gonna be a lot of hate comments and a lot of.
Is it a second time on there, or is it like a rebroadcast of the first one?
Rebroadcast.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but each time it happens, we get 1-star fake Amazon reviews. We get a lot of death threats and hate mail. And it's pretty interesting to watch it happen, because I don't know, it's really funny, because if you watch the episode, it's like I go on the show and Mark Cuban takes a position against me about how we don't have evidence, and we had done a study previous to being on the show that was about tobacco cessation, and we had showed that 75% of a 8-person pilot group had quit smoking at a 6-month follow-up. It was pretty powerful. And then a few days before the show was about to be filmed, I get a call from ABC and they say, you can't talk about tobacco. You're not allowed to talk about it on the show. So I go up on the show. Yeah. And so I go up on the show and I present the data and I start talking about the science behind it, about aversion therapy. Yeah. And Mark Cuban doesn't like it. He thinks that I should run my own trials. I can't even describe what I had done. And so I end up getting into a very big fight. He calls me, you know, a con artist, and then Mr. Wonderful gives me an offer. I turn him down because he's not a person I would like to work with. And he yells at me, F you a-hole, F you, on camera, season finale of last season. And so I end up walking off stage, and a lot of people, like, really hate to... a lot of people who watch the show, like, just instantly took the position of, oh, I got told off. Shark won. I lost. And we got 39 fake 1-star Amazon reviews within an hour after the show aired.
Wow.
It dropped our score from 4.6 or 7 to 2.9. And so since then, we've been fighting this uphill battle against doing so, against this, like, you know, there's, like, a lot of people who hate us. And for a long time, it was a lot of people. So we would post an ad on Facebook, and then you get haters. And recently, it's changed. We get a hater followed by one or two Pavlok users who tell them that they're wrong and tell them their story. Yeah. Like, it's starting to work. It's starting to share. It's starting to be shared. And so that experience was rough. And I think it'll be, you know, every time I look back on things, I think it's the right thing that happened, because humans are weird like that. But it's like, it'll be a really good part of our narrative. And I think it'll be really powerful. Mark Cuban was on NPR. He mentioned our name, calling me a con artist, like, in December. He was on on another show called something. Anyways, another TV show where he was just Access Hollywood. He was saying he said my name again, and it was like pretty funny actually. Padlock.com/Mark Cuban. It's a funny video. But anyway, like so now Dallas is our second best selling city.
That's awesome. Dude, and I gotta say, and you know, this is gonna come off however it's gonna come off. I appreciate, first of all, I appreciate you sharing that story. I can't imagine if it was me having, you know, the hate of the country, not the whole country, but a lot of people who've never met you before. You know, you have the TV show itself portrays you in not the best light, and you have a bunch of like people who you may or may not have respected, at least respected them enough to, you know, offer them to work with you, kind of say, you know, fuck you a little bit. And honestly, it's the most impressive thing about you, honestly, that you are able to go through that and have this successful, amazing business that's transforming the lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and me being one of them. So honestly, man, that's amazing that you, what you've done. And I have a huge deal of respect for you, and I really appreciate you sharing that story, because if it was me having to share that story, like, I think one guy who responded to an email and said I was a bitch, and I want to cry, you know, like, so I really appreciate you opening up about that, and I respect what you've done, man.
I think I thrive on it, though. Like, I used to post that sometimes I feel like giving up, but then I remember these motherfuckers that I have to prove wrong. And then I also believe that, like, what else could I possibly do in the world that would be bigger than Padlock? There's nothing else I could do that would be bigger than ending addiction, changing bad habits, and creating a world where a blockchain currency where you create money by hitting positive habits. There's nothing bigger than that.
Totally.
And so, like, to me, it's like, how do I describe this? Like, I loved it when I saw the show, and when I left the stage, I felt empowered, because I thought, what if Mark Zuckerberg were on Shark Tank season one describing Facebook, and they're like, no one's going to use that. We already have, like, their own schools already have their own ecosystem. You can never break in. It's never going to work. And then 10 years later, he's Mark Zuckerberg. Imagine if that, I was like, this is, I mean, like, this is going to push me to be him, to be this guy.
Yeah.
And also by any means necessary, which is beautiful, because it gives me the freedom to be an a-hole if I want to sometimes or need to. Because there's a thing about this. I was thinking about this. Inventor is like the best job. It's like inventor of a thing that like breaks like changes habits and like might have a significant impact on smoking or something is like a really cool job. Because like if you think about like a celebrity of any variety, like a DJ or a movie star or a blogger or a TV show host, like they can do things, or a president, they can do things which make them be seen in a bad light. And they can do things that make them be seen in a bad light forever. And it drops them it drops them into obscurity often. Whereas an inventor, or the guy who stops, like, who wins, who, like, is able to stop or create something that, like, I don't know, like, if my product works as I believe it works, it's a huge fucking deal. We're talking, like, hundreds of millions of lives and billions of years added to the human species through the smoking cessation, through the creation of what we're trying to do, which is achieving happiness levels, increased happiness levels. Most importantly, just addictions, smoking cessation, a ton of different addictions, huge addictions to opiates. And Padlock has been shown to be useful for that, for PTSD as well, stuff that we haven't done any trials for and can't market or claim whatsoever, but we have user success stories. It's a big deal. And so anyway, what I'm getting at is, if it's a big deal, and if we cure hundreds of thousands of lives of problems and add, you know, millions of years to the human ecosystem, at the end of the day, that's good. So like, even if I'm an asshole all the rest of the time, it's like, he's terrible, but he saves, you know, like,
but he changed the world. And
he changed the world. Yeah. He's also Travis Kalanick, like, before he did too. I guess that's a bad, that's a great example. As long as, like, if Uber was it's like if Travis Kalanick kept winning, and I learned a lot from watching how he self-destructed, and it was monetary driven. Like, he took too much money. It was venture capital driven. You see, like, anyway, that's it. That's the end of that. Like, still, he invented Uber. So, like, even though he's an asshole, he's still the guy who made Uber.
Exactly. And I think what I like about it, and I mean, is the ceiling for you is so high. And I talk about this with my team all the time.
It's too high.
Ceiling is so high for growth. And like, I think about this all the time with like my businesses, and I'm like, man, my ceiling's like here. Like, if that means if I only do a tenth of whatever, like, I'm not that impressive if I do it. If you do like 1% of what you're trying to do, you'll be one of the greatest revolutionaries of our time. Like, that's what I love like talking to you about, because you're like, I would love if you could talk a little bit more about your vision with connecting like Pavlok and Foltz with cryptocurrency, if you're cool talking a little bit. That's selfish. It's probably not helpful to anybody but me. But yeah, I mean, if you would like to talk about that a little bit, that'd be awesome.
You notice how much I just jumped up because how excited I'm, like a fucking like rabid dog.
I
would love to talk about this right now. sorry, I'm just getting a charger. I had a breakthrough this weekend, which changed Volts for me. And so what I'm saying, so Volts is what I've been talking about for 4 years. It's my behavioral currency. It's the way that it's the positive reinforcer that helps you achieve your goals. If you think about money, money is other people pay you for what they want you to do. I believe I was put on earth to help create a currency where you get paid for doing what you want yourself to do. Mm-hmm. That you put down money saying, I promise I'm going to hit the gym. And then when you hit the gym, you make back money times
two. Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to create, because it's like a stock market on your own behavior.
Right.
So the idea was to have this like long plan where we would start using a point system where users would, this is true, we're doing this. And our new product, Pavlok, the new Pavlok launcher, I'll show you what the screen looks like. So we're creating like a app store kind of interface. Do you see that at all?
Yeah, right there. Yep, we see it.
Like an app store interface, and we have some colorful ones on another app. But so what I was saying is that what we're doing is we're making it so that you earn volts by achieving the goals you set for yourself. So you say, I want to do this morning routine. Well, each day that you stick through for each item, you'll get volts each day that you achieve the goals. And then when you want to unlock a new feature or unlock a new app, you spend volts to unlock the new item. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So
yes, I'm with you.
Yeah. So when you wake up on time, you earn these points, and then when you want to get something new, you spend the points.
And how does that link with like blockchain?
Yeah. So the idea was that once we get a lot of people on the system, we would get the necessary staff and coding capabilities to build our own blockchain, where now you would actually mine coin by hitting your healthy, positive daily goals. That you would earn money by hitting your goals that are actually blockchain, like a variation of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And only recently recently being this weekend, have I discovered the power of the new Ethereum blockchain, where you can create apps on top of theirs, which is really like, so essentially the idea, to be simple, is that imagine, okay, so here's the system. Forget about that blockchain for a second. It's like, you earn these points, you spend these points. Then you start making groups of people who are achieving the same goals. You put money into a pot, right? So like, you have 100 people who buy your course, right?
Okay.
Let's say that each of them puts down $10 a day that they're gonna do the course item. They're gonna do their homework.
Okay.
So each day that they do the homework, they're gonna win back their money plus the money from the people who didn't do it.
Okay.
Right, so you'll be able to earn money like I'm talking about. If 50% of people do it, they'll get their course for free. They'll get like $300 a month. If 50% of people do your course homework each day in a group of 100, and they all put down $10 a day, the people who did it every day will win $300 that month.
So they're being extra rewarded for doing the stuff they already want to be doing.
Yeah, that's the system.
Wow. Okay. Except with blockchain. And cryptocurrency.
Just think about dollars. So it's simple.
Just think about with money. Yeah. I mean, even with money, that would be amazing. Like,
think about it. You sell a course, right? You sell a course for $50 or $100.
Yeah.
And 100 people sign up. And then right after it says, want to make back money? Put down $10 a day. Each day you do it, you'll get back your money for a plus more.
Wow.
At the end of the month, if half of the people did it, then they'll get back $300, $10 a day. So isn't that crazy? The number's
high. It's literally betting against yourself every single day. Which I can't think of, like, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because this is my random brain thinking. I was talking years ago when I had my gyms, and I was like, man, I wish there was a gym where you could pay $10 a day to be like, hey, I will show up to the gym. And if you don't, then the money just goes to the gym and they get paid for you to do nothing. But if you do, then you get that $10 back. And I'm like, here, this guy is actually inventing my, you know, late night ideas that are worth nothing by themselves because they have no implementation. But yeah,
I'm building a platform so you can use it too with your clients.
Oh, you're going to let me use it?
I'm doing it for you.
You're doing it just for me?
I don't want to make fucking content. I hate content. I don't want to make content. You make content, I'll create money out of thin air for you and your customers.
That sounds amazing. So, that sounds great. No, and I'm glad we have it here recorded. So
oh, shit. That's the line that the SEC shows at like a trial in 10 years. They're like, I'll create money out of thin air.
You see?
On Jay Rivera's podcast.
Wherever they find, like, if they can find this podcast, yeah, exactly.
I'm actually frightened out of my mind. This is me like trying to hide it. I'm just kidding.
It's out there forever. It's gone. You can't get it now.
So anyway, go back to what I was saying though. So that's the basic point, right? Then the idea eventually was that you would become we would flip it to blockchain. So suddenly, you mine coin by hitting your healthy daily goals. Which means that when you go to the gym, blockchain is just another way to, if you've heard of Bitcoin, it's another Bitcoin, where we start off with having people earn money by doing their goals, and then we'll have advertisers who are creating products that match your goals, so like healthy food items that you want in your macro, or items that meet the things that you want.
Yeah.
Those things will be the people who buy your volts, like a stock market, like a buyer and a seller. You're the seller, they're the buyer. So the monetary price would increase in a speed similar to that of Bitcoin. So what I'm getting at is, if you were to go to the my goal is that if you were to go to the gym every other day in the next year, you'd walk away in 4 years with like a lot of money, like a lot, like the way that Bitcoin became worth like 2000 what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you to do really quick. Do a one sentence. And in case somebody hasn't heard of Bitcoin, can you do a one sentence definition of it?
Bitcoin is an alternative currency. Think of it like a stock. It's just like a stock. Like when something goes on the New York Stock Exchange, it creates a buy and sell. It looks like this on Google Finance, a little chart. So Bitcoin is just like that, in the same way that you look at like the euro to the dollar, and you'll see like a same chart. Bitcoin is the same as the euro to the dollar. The only difference is that the money is throughout the web. It's peer-to-peer, so that the money doesn't actually is not controlled by a government. It's just controlled by a buy and sell marketplace. Yeah. So this means that you can transfer and sell. It's basically a revolution of fucking money, and it's really cool. And it's like a way. It's like it's crazy right now because it's like the creation of infinite currencies in the world that you're allowed to go out public with before. With no regulation. It's like really, really, really weird.
And to my knowledge, right, Bitcoin or any sort of blockchain cryptocurrency there's a finite amount of it too, right?
The rules are whatever you set. So every cryptocurrency has its own rules. So the way it works is this, and the way that it's simplified is this. You create something called a smart contract.
Okay.
A smart contract says, put your money in this address, send your money here. On a predefined date, the if statement will execute, so the program will run. If the program returns true, the money goes to you. If the program returns false, it goes to the other person who's in the contract as well. So it's like a software an escrow piece of software. That's what it is. So what you imagine is that this works really. So it's two people send it to an address. The address does a program on a specified day. That's how it works. And so if you think of it like that, it's like, okay, I send my dollars into this code and somebody in Europe sends their dollars into this code. And now I send my dollars into this code and then it sends it over there to him. He can trust that the money got there and exchange the currency into his currency with no transaction fee, right? But even more than that, it's just a trust magnifier. So let's say that you want to have a lease that you hand off to somebody else, a lender, a leaser could say, okay, here's the keys to get into the gates. Here's the keys to get into the gate, and they'll send that's what they send, and the other person will send the cash into the account. And on a specified date, if the cash is there, then the renter gets the key. Right?
Okay.
That's the same you can do that with it. It's not just money. It's a way to decentralize trust.
Yeah.
Way to outsource trust. And so that what that means with regards to what we're talking about, what people care about, is that there's a lot of these currencies that are being created right now. They're all being created for different reasons. I'm trying to create one that's relevant to health. So you achieve your goals. So if you walk 10,000 steps, you earn money. And that way you can invest in your behavior. And if you believe in the vision, you can invest on the coins behavior by looking at stock exchanges like Coinbase. So that's it, basically.
I mean, I think that was a pretty good definition for me and for anybody who's never heard of anything at all. And I appreciate you taking a minute to go through that. Whoa. all right, cool. Let's see. All right, Pavlok 2. What are the biggest, I know that's the new thing. What are the biggest things? I know you've touched on it throughout the show here. What are the biggest advantages and differences in Pavlok 2 versus Pavlok 1?
All right, so Pavlok 2 is, first of all, it's on my wrist. It looks like this. This is a lot slimmer. It's got this cool Milanese metal strap with a magnet, and I'm going all fucking in on magnets. Really pretty. This is the device. You can also wear it as a clip if you already wear a watch.
Oh, cool.
And we're releasing more and more like Apple Watch apps, and we're releasing more and more integrations with, ways to wear it, accessories. So number one is it looks pretty good. Number two is... it now is able to track different motions, gestures, and behavior. So you can program in stuff that you'd like to stop doing, like motions, like biting your nails or scratching your hair, like any kind of hand.
Those are both terrible habits I have, so this is good to know.
Great. Yeah, so you can train it by doing a motion you want to do. We have machine learning with everybody. We ask you to do some of the behaviors on purpose, and then we put your DNA of your code into our DNA. So we take like your data and you become part of the ecosystem. And so we're training. So anyway, we can also do things like theoretically, and also we've seen it in demos, been doing things like jumping jacks or squats or any sort of workout. Almost every workout item can be tracked to a pretty good degree. So we can see when your workouts are done just by you doing them. You don't have to press a button. You don't have to enable an app. You just start doing jumping jacks and it counts throughout the day. So that's one that we is something we're developing. It's going to take time because it's machine learning. It's got to learn. It's kind of crazy. It needs a lot of data, but it'll get there. And so thirdly, we have this new launcher developer interface. So now there's new apps within apps. It's not just going to sleep and waking up. It is also the creation of new apps. Our first one being Rise, the app that helps you set a morning routine and stick to it. Right. We can probably do a challenge or something. With your users for like a morning routine when it's out,
you know. Yeah, I would totally do that because I do have a morning routine. I need it, otherwise my day is ruined. It's garbage, honestly.
Like, everybody get the fuck up at 4. AJ,
get
time.
Up at 4. You know, jump on the trampoline, meditate, read, fill out my self journal from Alan Brower, and then I'm ready to start my, and then I write my email and then I start working. So that's the routine I do every single day. And literally, if I don't do it, I mean, the whole day feels all over the place. It's like half or less of the work is going to get done. So short of getting somebody to come slap me, I think nothing's better than Pavlok right now.
Yeah, for sure. I got so we have the craziest discount ever that ends at midnight tonight. So it's like Pavlok 1 plus you get a Pavlok 2 pre-order for $149. And I just created a discount code for you to get another $10 off that. So that's crazy. But Pavlok.com/AJRivera should take you to a page where it lets you get that item. And if you grab it, then check it out. And... so that's, I mean, check it out, pavlok.com/AJRivera.
Perfect. Awesome. If anybody else wants to connect with you besides checking out pavlok.com/AJRivera, what's the best way to find you? Do you have any podcasts, YouTube channels? I know you're on Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. Hit me up on Facebook is usually the way. We have a, I think I'm in a group, so you can hit me up on Facebook for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's in the group. So if you want to tag him and say, you know, well, I don't know, whatever it is you want to say, I'm sure he'll respond to you and hang out with you. All right, cool. Manish, I appreciate you being on here, man. I know you're super busy, and I know your Pavlok's been beeping.
I'm really not busy. I really do nothing. It's pretty.
That's well, I appreciate it. I really do. And let me sign off here really quick, and then we'll chat really quick over here on the Zoom. So hey, this has been episode 28 of AJTV with Manish Sethi. He is CEO of Pavlok. If you want a Pavlok, we'll drop a link below. You can check that out. Pavlok.com. You can go /AJRivera, but honestly, you can do not /AJRivera and pay full price if you want. That's totally cool too. It's an awesome device. I use it every single night. I have a 5-star review on Amazon. I really do. You can Google it right now, Manish. I really, because I saw that people were who've never even used it were like, yeah, I'm with Mark Cuban. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, actually use the thing first. So it's an amazing device for those of you who are entrepreneurs or anybody who's trying to start a good habit, especially waking up early. So I highly recommend it. And again, thank you so much for being here.